Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with us, give us a call right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about growing in Christ and how we do that as believers, and made the statement either yesterday or the day before, is you can't grow in the grace of God unless you have the basics right. And Peter certainly gives that same narrative in his second letter. He said his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So every believer has been equipped with everything that they need to experience life to the full.
Yeah.
So the question is, why are so many believers not experiencing life to the full? Why are we missing the boat on this new Christian life that we have, this fact that we've been raised to walk in the newness of life? And he goes on to say, if we're growing, we're going to see different qualities in our lives. We're going to be seeing goodness and love and tenderness and all of these things. And then he says, if you don't see these, it's because you've become nearsighted and blind, and you have forgotten a very basic truth, that your sins have been forgiven. All of your sins have been forgiven.
Yeah.
So if you're not growing in Christ, it's because you don't know your sins have been forgiven. That's why we have to get the basics right, because once we get the basics right, then we're primed and ready to grow in the grace of God. Well, that's God's grace that he's given to us. Our sins weren't forgiven because we earned forgiveness. It was given to us as a gift of grace, by the riches of God's grace. That's exactly what Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians. We have in him redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. So forgiveness is a gift of grace. If we don't understand that gift of grace, we're never going to grow in grace. So let's get the basics right. Once we get established there, once we stand firm in the grace of God, then we can see growth start to happen in our lives. So later on in this chapter, starting in verse 12 through, I think, 15, Peter kind of gives his philosophy of ministry. And Richard, you want to read that and just kind of comment on these particular verses?
Starting in verse 12, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure you will be able to call these things to mind. Paul's entire purpose, especially here at the end of his life, is to make sure the people with whom he's been ministering and to whom he's been ministering know these fundamentals. And they're so anchored in them that even when he's gone, they won't forget them. They will always call them to mind. They will always go back to that when the trials come, when the doubts come, when the personal failures come. It's the fundamentals that get you through. And he is just almost desperate for them to grab on the way he has grabbed on. Now, Peter, of all people, knew what it meant not to have the fundamentals, because he was all over the map.
Yes, he
was. And once the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and he figured out these fundamentals under the grace of God by the Spirit from the inside out, nothing was ever the same again for him. And he wanted that same glorious experience for his readers, for his listeners, for his friends, his family.
Yes, indeed. And Paul echoed the same thing in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, mm-hmm. and is safe for you.
Yes.
We need the fundamentals. We need to get the basics right. And when we get the basics right, we can grow in the grace of God. This was Peter's message. This was Paul's message. He even wrote to the Galatians, I work diligently until Christ is formed in you.
Yeah.
He wants us to be established. These New Testament writers want us to be established in the truth of God's love. They want us to be established in the truth of our new identity in Christ. They want us to be established in the fact that we're new covenant believers, not old covenant believers. They want us to be established in the fact that this new life that we have is actually Christ's life, that he has given us his life, and Christ has come to live inside of us to live his life through us. And so as we become established in these things, then we're going to start seeing growth. So our roots will grow down into the truth, and out of that soil, growth in grace, growth in our knowledge of Christ Jesus will start to take place, and we will see that and experience that in our relationships. So if you're married and you start seeing changes in the way that you deal with your wife or your husband, it's because the roots of who you are have grown deep into the truth of who Christ is. Mm-hmm. And that transforms you as that life source, that new life source called Jesus Christ himself, starts to work his way in and through you in this particular relationship. So this year, we're going to get the basics right.
Yeah.
We're going to get established. We're going to let these roots grow deep, and so that we can see growth in Christ.
And then we'll do it again next year.
That's exactly,
a year after,
that's exactly
a year
right. Yeah. That's what we do here at Basic
news,
Gospel.
Keep the good news coming. Well, coming out of this teaching, of course, is a brand new book from Basic Gospel. It's called The Basic Gospel, Essential Truths for You to Grow in God's Love and Grace. And we have a copy for you as you make your gift during the month of January. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or give us a call at 844-322-2742 and ask for your copy of The Basic Gospel. And we hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity right now, as a matter of fact.
Yes, indeed. Hey, good news. Just got word this morning, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, my book that came out in 2015. So it's been out there a couple of years. If you haven't read it, certainly encourage you to go to our website, pick up a copy. I think it would be really beneficial and encouraging to you in your own on Christian walk with Jesus Christ. We're answering the question in that book, how is the Christian life really supposed to work? That's where I got it wrong, and that's where so many people get it wrong in their day-to-day lives. They don't know what faith looks like, how to really live it out in this topsy-turvy world in which we live today. So Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, it's available at our website. Well, now it's available in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
So the Christian booksellers sent me a post saying, hey, it's now available. I have posted that to our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So if you follow us on Facebook, you can get all the information. If you know people that would like to read about the grace of God in their native language, Spanish, then get a copy of this. I think when they read it in their native tongue, it's more powerful than hearing it in a second language.
Yeah.
And they may be fluent in that in English, but still hearing it in their native tongue is so much more powerful to them. So if you have Spanish-speaking friends, pick up a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/basicgospel, and you'll find all the information on how to purchase it right there.
I am impressed that you learned to write Spanish quite so quickly.
I did. It's a miracle. I can write in tongues.
844-322-2742. Time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk to our friend Darren again. Hi, Darren.
Hey, how we doing, guys? Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. What's on your mind today?
So, just a quick question. I know you guys have probably covered this before, but when we're talking tithing, is there a tithe other than the tenth? Meaning, what was before the 10th, if that makes sense. Was there something before the 10th? Is there another way that we're actually supposed to be tithing, or is the 10th the most accurate and is the most practiced?
Well, Darren, as far as tithing is concerned, it's really an old covenant practice. And so God instituted that in the nation of Israel so that every person would bring their tithes, and that was primarily food substances, into a storehouse. And these storehouses were scattered throughout Israel in the towns where the Levites would be. And the Levites would use those for the religious life of the people, so for sacrifices and offerings that were required by the law. And then the remaining portion would be their food substances. So that's how they lived. So it was supporting the religious life. It was supporting the Levitical priesthood. And the tenth was representative of the whole. So it was saying, we recognize, God, that everything that we have has come from your hand to ours, every single thing. And so we are giving back in honor of that truth. And so that was the purpose of it back in the old covenant. Now, they had several different tithes that they brought to the storehouse. And when you look at the various things, and we have a little booklet, and we can send you this booklet. It's called Giving the New Covenant Way. Very, very detailed booklet, but concisely written, and I think you can get the information quickly. So we will put you on hold and get your information and send it to you. But when you look at it in the Old Testament, you see there was basically two 10% tithes that they were to bring every year, and then another one that they were to bring every third year. So it happened to be about 23% if you looked at it. And so that was what was required. And that's the key word, Darren. These things were required. This wasn't free will giving. This wasn't something just out of their heart. They were following the requirements of the law. And that's the big difference between old covenant giving and new covenant giving. New covenant giving is outlined for us in 2 Corinthians verses 8 and 9, or chapters 8 and 9. It's called the grace of giving. And Paul is encouraging each and every one of us to excel in the grace of giving. And within that whole discussion, there's not one time a mention of a percentage, that you're to give X percent as far as your grace giving is concerned.
Yes, sir.
So as far as what New Covenant believers are called to do, it is simply to allow the Spirit of God to work inside of us, and then for us to respond in our giving. So whatever that is, you give joyfully, you give cheerfully, you give without compulsion, you give because that's what the Lord has put in your heart to do. And when you do that, there's a lot of joy. And that's it. You're not giving to get, but the very act of giving brings a lot of joy to the human heart.
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense, Darren?
I really make a whole lot of sense. Sir, yeah. Thank you much. I appreciate it. You gentlemen have a great weekend, and God bless you, the work that you do.
Yeah, well, thank you. Let me put you on hold, Darren, and we'll send you that booklet, Giving the New Covenant Way, okay?
Yes, sir.
You hold on.
Thanks, Darren. Great to hear from you.
Yes, indeed.
844-322-2742. Time on the clock. Give us a call if you have a question, something you'd like to discuss. 844-322-2742. Quick program note. Next Friday, just 1 week from today, we're going to start a brand new series from the book of Hebrews. I think it's going to be a great study. I hope that you'll let your family and friends know. And again, that's next Friday at this time.
Yeah, I am so excited about this. The book of Hebrews has been on my mind, and I think I've been studying through it more in the last month than I have in all my days. And, of course, as a ministry, we've spent a lot of time in the book of Hebrews.
Yes.
And it is one of the most exciting books in the New Testament. It is very thorough. It really gives us a clear look at the person and work of Jesus Christ and this new covenant in which we live. So we're going to lay it out for you every single Friday. We'll put some teaching notes together that you can download and follow us along. This is just going to be a fantastic series. Richard, you and I had the opportunity to teach through it a number of years ago on our Sunday gatherings, and we just had a ball.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
We had more fun. Well, I think we're even going to have more fun as we address it on the radio broadcast. So that begins next Friday. So we are really looking forward to that.
Yeah. We're gonna cover it in either 1 week or 1 year. We're not quite sure which yet.
That's right. That's right.
I think I know which one.
Yes. Well, in the meantime, we have a pretty serious question for us that comes from our Facebook audience. Betty wrote this, and we certainly want to give an answer. It says, "Can anyone go to heaven if they commit suicide?" And that's a serious question.
Tough one. Yeah.
And you know, the Word of God gives us some information, but it doesn't address that specifically. But what it does address is this, that if a person is in Christ, once they've been saved, as Hebrews 7 says, they are saved completely. Christ has come to live inside of that person, and Christ has promised to never leave nor forsake that person. Also, in Hebrews 7, we see that Christ has an indestructible life.
Yeah.
So, and he was named priest in the order of Melchizedek because of the fact he has an indestructible life. Death could not destroy his life. We saw that in the resurrection. And he gave us his life.
Yes.
So when we are saved, It's not that we get a golden ticket that we give to the gatekeeper when we go to heaven when we die and they let us in. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is being saved by the life of Christ.
Yeah.
So it is receiving the indestructible life of Christ. So in Colossians chapter 3, it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears. So if you're a believer, whose life do you have? His life.
His life.
What's the nature of his life? It's indestructible. So what does that make, or what does that say about your new life in him?
It's indestructible.
It's indestructible. So what's the answer to the question? If you're a believer, if you have Christ living in you, then you have an indestructible life. And so when you're absent from the body, no matter how that happens, you're present with the Lord. So we talk about suicide, and the reason that's such a hard question for us is because there's no chance to repent of it. Once it's done, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're caught in another sin? What if you're telling a lie? And in the midst of that, your heart explodes and you die.
Yeah.
Just a heart attack. What's the answer to that person? Well, if he's in Christ, he's absent from the body, present with the Lord. So we have to recognize that the blood of Jesus was powerful enough to take away our sins once and for all.
Yes.
His life in us is indestructible. And his life is our life. And because that's true, somebody is going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yeah. So the person who wrote this in, I'm willing to bet they either know someone, family member, friend, or are associated in some way with somebody who's going through this. Give them hope.
Yes.
Because they are wrestling.
Yes.
Now, the hardest part about suicide is for those of us who are left, because we have questions like this. This is where knowing the fundamentals, that a forgiven person is a forgiven person, that a saved person has an indestructible life, regardless of how that life ends. Those kinds of things are what give us hope, and that hope anchors us in Jesus.
Yes, indeed. And Friday before Christmas, I think it was the 22nd, December 22nd, we really laid out what Hebrews chapter 7 talks about, the fact that Christ has an indestructible life. Yeah. Because he has an indestructible life, he saves us completely. And then we tied that to Colossians chapter 3, where it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you yeah. will appear with him in glory. So our salvation totally rests on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, who he is in us and the work that he accomplished for us. Now, somebody else that commits suicide who wasn't a believer, it's a different story, isn't it?
Yes.
But somebody who is in Christ, and you have to ask the question, can it happen to a believer? Yes, it can.
I know.
Yes. We know that it we know people.
Yes.
And so we just have to say, you know, Christ knew all about that.
Yeah.
And when he died 2,000 years ago, he bore that sin in his body so that that person could experience life everlasting. Yeah. So, Betty, thank you for the question. We hope that's helpful
yes,
to you.
Indeed. We talk a lot about daily living here on this broadcast. And, of course, one of the questions that comes along almost perpetually is things concerning end times. And so we had an anonymous writer that wanted to know, how do we prepare for end times?
Fix your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah, plain
period.
And simple. Plain and simple. That
end times can be a frightening thing because we always think of them in the worst possible way. You know, there's lots of death and destruction and persecution and marks and all of this kind of stuff. Jesus has already been victorious in the future. He's just waiting for us to get there.
Yeah.
Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let him carry you through the times, good, bad, or otherwise. Because that's really the only way to live this life.
Yeah. So here's what John wrote about that. So here is his direct answer. This is chapter 3 of 1 John. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So there's something about this hope that we have with the future that transforms the way we live today. So you're a child of God. You're going to appear with him. When you do, when you see him face to face, you're going to know exactly what you're like. And the world's going to know that as well.
Yeah.
And so in the meantime, just simply keep your eyes on Jesus and allow that relationship to transform how you live here and now.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from all of those of you, our listeners, who have written to us or have left us a voicemail question or whatever. And if you'd like to do that, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day, night, weekend, doesn't matter. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. You can also drop us an email to bob@basicgospel.net, and we'd love to address that question as well. Also, if you're visually oriented, you can join us on the Basic Gospel feeds on Facebook and YouTube every day. Hope you'll take advantage of that. You'll see Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, and I know you'd like to do that. So, friends, also keep in mind that this ministry is listener-supported, and we're grateful to each of you who believe in the message that you hear on Basic Gospel, who lovingly support it through your giving. And as you live in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, may he richly bless you, your gifts, through Basic Gospel. If you haven't joined with us yet to help share into this good news, well, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. When you do, ask for your copy of The Basic Gospel, Essential Truths for You to Grow in God's Love and Grace. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again on Monday for Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.